UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Today we're talking about the diagnosis and management of patients with central airway obstruction. Here to tell us about that is Dr. Hitesh Batra. He's an assistant professor of medicine and the director of Interventional Pulmonology and Pleural Disease Program in the Division of Pulmonary Allergy and Critical Care Medicine at UAB Medicine. Dr. Batra, explain a little bit about central airway obstruction and who develops obstruction of the central airway. What is the prevalence of this?
So central airway obstruction is has a wide range of causes, but the most common is lung cancer. Up to 30% of patients with lung cancer will develop some degree of central airway obstruction.
What causes should be considered other than that when acute upper airway obstruction is suspected?
Right. So a lot of other conditions that are not related to cancer can also lead to central airway obstruction. Foreign body aspiration can lead to that. Conditions that are benign, and I would say benign with quotes, because we actually prefer the word non-malignant, because these conditions are rarely benign, because they can have serious effects on the patients and can sometimes be life-threatening. So those conditions would be patients with lung transplant will have sometimes have airway complications, tracheal stenosis because of trauma to the trachea, not uncommonly because of intubation, idiopathic tracheal stenosis is another cause, conditions such as Wegener's granulomatosis or what's called granulomatosis with polyangiitis can lead to tracheal stenosis. So those are some of the common non-malignant causes of central airway obstruction.
Then speak about the imaging studies that would be helpful in making or excluding the diagnosis of acute airway obstruction. And are there other diseases, Dr. Batra, that can mimic this same condition?
So when a patient presents with shortness of breath and airway obstruction is suspected, often the first test that is done is a chest x-ray. But a chest x-ray can often be normal or can underestimate the degree of obstruction. So often when malignant or non-malignant airway obstruction is suspected, a CT scan of the chest is the best test to evaluate the degree of obstruction and to really see what's going on in the airways. And your other question was, can something mimic this? Yes, some pathologies of the airway, such as severe asthma, can sometimes behave like that. And there are some other conditions that are not necessarily mechanical obstruction, such as tracheobronchomalacia, which is collapse of the airway, particularly during expiration, which can look like mechanical central airway obstruction.
So with the growth of subspecialties, such as interventional pulmonology, have you seen more attention and research directed towards treating patients with complex airway pathology that could result in, as you said, from malignant or benign disease?
One thing we have seen is there's definitely has been a rise in the prevalence of central airway obstruction and incidence of central airway obstruction over the past few decades, particularly because of increase in the incidence of lung cancer. Now, as that has been growing, there has been more attention to that, and there has been a rise of interventional pulmonology as a field over the past two or three decades, and having more interventional pulmonology fellowships and laryngology fellowships, which is a subspecialty of ENT. I do think that more and more centers are coming up with complex airway programs where there's a collaborative and integrated approach towards central airway obstruction, where physicians from interventional pulmonology, ENT, and thoracic surgery get together to manage these patients, which can often be challenging. The number of complex airway programs in the country are very few, though, still. So that is definitely increasing, and that recognition is increasing. At UAB, we do have a we have a complex airway conference that we do every week or so to discuss these cases and come up with the best collaborative approach to manage these conditions. As for research, we do not see yet the significant increase in research that is going on towards these conditions. And part of that is, I think, the first step would be to make robust complex airway programs that deal with the conditions using the existing knowledge that we have. And having that recognition that if you are at a center and you deal with a patient who has central airway obstruction, the best management for that patient might be referral to a center that has the expertise to deal with that.
How do you determine the type of therapeutic modality to select? Speak about some of the parameters for your decision and tell us about some of the latest therapeutic and diagnostic tools that are now available and that you're using there at UAB Medicine.
Right. So speaking of how do we decide first, the biggest thing that helps with the decision making is what are the symptoms that the patients are having. Now, we should recognize that symptoms because of central airway obstruction happen very late in disease. A normal trachea, for example, is anywhere from 16 to 20 millimeters in diameter. Patients do not develop dyspnea on exertion until the trachea is about less than 8 millimeters or so. And dyspnea at rest occurs at less than 5 millimeters. So by the time patients develop symptoms, often the disease is already severe. As far as deciding whether to intervene or not, the one thing we need to have is the patient should have symptoms because of the problem. But two, it also depends on the location. Now, we are with the available modalities that we have to handle airway obstruction, we can do very well with obstruction in the trachea, in the mainstem bronchi, and in bronchus intermedius. But obstruction in distal bronchi, it's very challenging to deal with or treat. As far as modalities that we use, there are a lot of ways we can deal with central obstruction, and that just comes down to what the etiology of obstruction is. Often we do mechanical debulking of tumor or whatever is causing the obstruction by either using a rigid bronchoscope or rigid forceps or microdurbiter. While I'm speaking of that, I do think that most central airway obstruction should be managed with rigid bronchoscopy. There are some things, certain foreign bodies and certain obstructions that could be effectively managed with flexible bronchoscopy, but to have a secure airway and to keep the procedure safe, it is best to have rigid bronchoscopy either as the primary modality or have it available as a backup if needed. So these things should be treated at a center with the expertise in doing so. In terms of, besides mechanical methods of tumor debulking, there are several other modalities that we have to treat the obstruction or tumor that might be obstructing the airway, such as laser or electrocautery, argon plasma coagulation, cryotherapy, and what to use when really depends upon what's the obstruction, where it is, and what all it is involving. We do have all of those modalities available at UAB.
And as we wrap up, Dr. Batra, you mentioned your collaboration with other providers in this department. Please give us your summary of what you would like other providers to take away from this segment on central airway obstruction, your cross-collaboration with other providers, and when to refer to the specialists at UAB Medicine.
The first and foremost, I would say, is that it is really important to recognize that central airway obstruction can be treated and to recognize that it should be treated urgently. And because if we, for example, if a patient has a lobar collapse or a whole lung collapse because of central airway obstruction, if we do not treat it beyond 4 to 6 weeks, treating it beyond that time can have minimal benefit or no benefit at all. So that's first and foremost. Second thing I would say is the treatment of this, of most of the central airway obstruction, should happen at a center that has expertise in treating this and has the ability to do rigid bronchoscopy and to use all those modalities that I just mentioned. And finally, like we've discussed, the collaborative approach is really essential, particularly for the obstruction of the trachea, where collaboration with laryngologists and thoracic surgeons is essential to have the best outcomes and the best approach to these diseases. So for any physician out in the community, if you are practicing at a center that does not have the resources available that we just discussed, or the expertise in treating central airway obstruction frequently, then I would suggest referring those physicians to a center that does, and UAB is one of them.
Thank you so much, Dr. Batra, for joining us today and sharing your expertise in this very interesting topic. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for tuning in today.